This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
With the bombing of Libya, we can all forget about the ongoing nuclear disaster on the other side of the world. People are getting bored with news out of Japan. More than half the media is reporting the damaged Fukushima Daiichi reactor is under control, or the authorities are making good progress. Is it all over? Time to start moving along, folks. Nothing to see here. Our attention span is only about a week long anyway. Except one of the world's worst nuclear accidents is far from over. This is Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith with Japan Atomic Emergency Bulletin No. 4, dated March 21st. We will explore information coming in reactor by reactor. The story changes by the hour and much depends on who you believe, but we'll look for the best authorities. We can say several Fukushima reactors with their spent fuel pools are still out of operator control. Some are still emitting dangerous radiation, and a more serious accident could still occur at any time. Quickly, there are six nuclear reactors set side by side at the Fukushima Daiichi site on the eastern coast of Japan, 220 kilometers or 136 miles north of Tokyo. Three of them, units 4 to 6, were shut down for periodic maintenance, which happens often for such old reactors. As we'll see, even shut down, Japanese reactors pose a serious danger. Reactors number 1 to 3 were operating at the time the earthquake struck on March 11th. Rods to quell the nuclear reaction were dropped automatically, but within an hour, a tsunami knocked out all power to all six reactors at the Fukushima Daiichi site. Various outbuildings and pumps were also washed away or damaged. What is the situation as Monday, March 21st begins in North America? The most reliable data seems to be published in a graph from the Japan Atomic Industrial Forum, or JAIF, as republished in part by the Guardian newspaper in the UK. The date is March 20th. First of all, the radiation level at the west gate of the plant was 269 microsieverts, while radiation north of the service building was 3,054 microsieverts on March 20th. In American measurements, 1 sievert is about 100 rem. A chest X-ray is anywhere from 6 to 18 microsieverts. The lowest clearly carcinogenic level is 100 microsieverts per year. So at over 3,000 microsieverts per hour, parts of the Fukushima plant are extremely dangerously radioactive. Let's look at each reactor one by one. Reactors 5 and 6 were out of service at the time of the earthquake, although their spent fuel pools heated up after the tsunami. Power was restored to these reactors using backup generators several days ago. Neither of these reactors had their outer shells destroyed by an explosion. A power company official reported the roofs were intentionally punctured in both 5 and 6 outbuildings to prevent hydrogen gas buildup. TEPCO now says the spent fuel pools at number 5 and 6 are below the boiling point and under control, with water being pumped in. This is the good news emphasized in many recent news reports. TEPCO now says that measurements from drone overflights show temperatures in all of the spent fuel cooling ponds are below 100 degrees centigrade. That is, they have stopped boiling off following days of dumping tons of seawater on various reactors. Some pools may still be leaking. American authorities announced that some fuel rods were exposed, were seriously damaged, and emitted dangerous radiation. We'll talk more about that shortly. According to the March 20th report of the Japan Atomic Industrial Forum, the inner reactors of number 5 and number 6 have kept their integrity. TEPCO is keeping a vent open in the outer containment building, as I said, to avoid a hydrogen explosion. Reactor number 4, JAIF, reports no problems with the reactor vessel of number 4, which was down for maintenance. However, in a procedure apparently unique to Japan, all the hot fuel rods from the reactor had been switched out to the spent fuel ponds, which have no solid containment system. The fact that the outer building was not blown off made it more difficult to see what was happening in this spent fuel pond. While some experts say that the pool boiled down and could not be replenished by dropping water from above, on March 20th, JAIF reports only, quote, water level low, seawater spray continue, hydrogen from pool exposed, end quote. Further down in the same chart, JAIF says the operator TEPCO has been unable to measure water temperature in the number 4 reactor spent fuel pond since March 14th, a week ago. The situation there remains dangerous. There is no power to the building. The built-in pool cooling pumps are not operational. TEPCO is trying to spray seawater in through a hole in the side of the outer containment building. The fuel rods within the pool are highly radioactive since they were taken from a live reactor. This remains a dangerous situation. Reactor number 3, possibly the biggest current danger. Over the weekend, the situation at reactor number 3 flared up again. JAIF reports, quote, "The pressure at the containment level of Unit 3 increased this morning, the 20th. The pressure became stable at higher level after this increase," end quote. At first, operators suggested they would have to release more radioactive steam from reactor number 3 to lower pressure. But currently they are holding at a higher pressure, saying they may have to vent radiation later. The British newspaper The Independent reported late Sunday that work on reactor number 3 was suspended due to fears of explosive pressure within the reactor. If steam is vented from reactor number 3, it would contain iodine-131, cesium-137, and other radioactive byproducts. Within the reactor, JAIF says the core and fuel integrity have been damaged, a situation they picture as code red, the most serious. The reactor vessel integrity is not known. There have been reports of cracks from other sources. There is no power to cool the reactor core. Nuclear fuel rods have been exposed, but JAIF says seawater is being pumped into that core. According to JAIF, the water level in the spent fuel pond of reactor number 3 is low while being sprayed for long periods with seawater. TEPCO announced on Sunday, March 20th, that it may take several more days to connect power to reactors number 3 and 4. Reactor number 2. The core and fuel of reactor number 2 have been damaged, a situation red according to JAIF. Damage is suspected to the containment vessel. Despite news reports of electric power arriving at reactor number 2, even to a switchboard, quote, "There is no power running cooling of the reactor core or the spent fuel ponds as of March 20th. Reactor fuel has been exposed with unknown damage. Seawater is being pumped into the core continuously. JAIF says the pressure level of reactor 2 is, quote, unknown. That is serious, but at least the pressure in the outer containment vessel is listed as low and containment venting has been temporarily stopped. There has been extensive damage to the building. Even with power, no one knows whether the instrumentation or the cooling pumps will work in this reactor. It is still possible that just turning on the electricity will spark one or multiple fires, especially now that the entire building has been nearly flooded by sea salt water for several days. Water injection to the containment vessel is being considered. Seawater injection to the spent fuel of reactor number 2 just started on Sunday, Monday in Japan. Reactor number 1. Both the core and the nuclear fuel rods of reactor number 1 are listed as damaged, code red by JAIF. The reactor pressure vessel's integrity is unknown. There is no core cooling by the built-in pumps, nor any working electrical power to the building except to some outer connections. Previously, the power lines to reactor number 1 came through reactor number 2. The building was severely damaged in all three events, the earthquake, the tsunami, and the following hydrogen explosion, which blew off the roof and other parts. Fuel was exposed in reactor number 1, according to JAIF. The reactor pressure level is supposed to be stable, but the containment vessel pressure is unknown. Containment venting has been temporarily stopped. Seawater is being pumped into the core. As of March 20th, TEPCO is still considering whether to inject seawater into the spent fuel pool of reactor number 1. As with reactor number 2, and this is a caution raised by the International Atomic Energy Agency, the IAEA, no one knows if the pumps or other functions of the reactor will function, even if and when power is restored in a few days. That is the latest situation always changing at the Fukushima reactors as of very early Monday, March 21st. NHK World Japanese Television is reporting, quote, "a high level of radiation observed across the plant property," end quote. Large chunks of radioactive debris has prevented some of the fire trucks from reaching the best positions for spraying the spent fuel ponds. On Monday, the Japanese Defense Force brought in a tank with a bulldozer blade to clear some areas. In the same report, NHK World says the operator TEPCO has given the highest priority to restoring power to reactor number 2. Because the outer building is still intact, they had trouble getting water to the reactor from outside. The big concern here is the heating fuel rods inside the reactor. There is still no power hooked up to the central control room of reactor number 2, and so the company has few measurements of what is going on inside this reactor. That makes it difficult to know what to do, says NHK World TV. This is Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith. Now I'm going to quickly run down some of the other news about this accident at Fukushima Daiichi Reactor in Japan. As you've no doubt heard, low levels of radioactive iodine were detected in Tokyo tap water. This was above safe limits, but the government assured about 30 million people in the region that there was no immediate health concern. Bottled water has sold out in Tokyo, and some people have already left the city. Radioactivity has also been found in vegetables and milk in two prefectures near Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant. An investigation by the Wall Street Journal shows the Daiichi plant had more serious incidents than any other large nuclear facility in Japan even before the earthquake. It was aging and the original design had problems. Also, Japan power companies handle reactor spent fuel differently than their American counterparts. When it comes time to service a reactor, U.S. nuclear operators move only some of the still active fuel rods to the spent fuel pool, while keeping most within the much more protected reactor vessel. At Fukushima Daiichi Reactor No. 4, as with most Japanese reactors, all the hot rods were placed at once in the cooling ponds, which have no safe outer containment and depend completely on water pumping to stop a nuclear reaction. The less safe practice contributed to the serious fears about overheating in the spent fuel pool reactors of No. 5 and No. 6, but especially Reactor No. 4. It is called full core discharge, and that practice may have to be re-examined in light of this accident. On Sunday, Gregory Jasko, chairman of the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission, says radiation levels at the power plant are still high but may be coming down. He said, quote, "It's difficult to obtain accurate information," adding, quote, "It's premature to make any assessment about the most severely affected reactors," end quote. The Los Angeles Times reported Sunday night, quote, "The reactor containment vessel at No. 2 may be cracked and venting some radioactive gases into the environment. Reactor No. 3 is the only reactor at the site that contains plutonium in the fuel rods, and its escape would be extremely dangerous because it is carcinogenic in even minute doses," end quote. That article also concludes that at least the top halves of the fuel rods of reactors 1 through 3 were exposed for several days. Damage to the fuel rods may make them harder to cool, even if the reactor pumps can be made to work again. Keep in mind that the chlorine in seawater now being pumped into reactors and spent fuel ponds is very corrosive to the stainless steel pipes running through all these reactors. They were designed to use purified water. That may mean even further damage has occurred. Both the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal are reporting that the Tokyo Electric Power Company, TEPCO, hesitated to use seawater, a delay that may have increased both damage to the reactors and the fuel, and an increase in radiation released. The private company was reportedly concerned that once seawater was used, the big investment in the plant and all the much-needed power it produced would be lost. On March 20th, Japanese authorities acknowledged that the Fukushima Daiichi plant would never be reopened. If a further nuclear meltdown can be averted, some of the most extreme radioactive materials might be removed, and then the site might be encased in cement as Chernobyl was. The plant is definitely finished, but just how it can be contained is still undecided. TEPCO announced at least 24 members of the Japanese Self-Defense Force have been exposed to unsafe levels of radiation. More than 20 workers have been injured. One crane operator was declared dead at the site early in the accident, and two workers remain missing. We have heard little about the 50 workers who stayed inside the plant in the early days, and no reports on the health of firemen and helicopter pilots working at the site. Meanwhile, the head of the International Atomic Energy Agency, Yukiya Amano, said on leaving Japan just now, quote, "I hope that safety, stability will be recovered as soon as possible, but I still don't think it is time to say that I think they are going in a good direction or not," end quote. I believe that. And thank you for keeping your ears and eyes on this continuous serious situation. Multiple reactor accidents in Japan, one of the world's most advanced nuclear nations. I'm Alex Smith. This is Radio EcoShock. Keep tuned to our podcast, subscribe at our main page, ecoshock.org, and listen to our weekly program, broadcast on 25 college and community radio stations, plus Green 960 AM, San Francisco. Thank you again for listening.